Hi, I'm Sean Healy, and you're listening to Tools. Hi everyone, Sean Healy, personal change agent here, and you're listening to episode 46 of Sean Healy Tools, a podcast designed to support entrepreneurial couples, people in business partnership, and anyone looking for more tips, tools, and strategies to add to the quality of your life. Today's episode, episode 46, is entitled Facing Shame. Oh, such a wonderful topic. This is an episode that I've been asked by a few people if I would talk about shame to a degree. And it's one of my favorite uncomfortable topics because I am someone who's struggled with extensive feelings of shame and how that's led to worthlessness and fear of attack through large parts of my life. And so, you know, this particular topic has great significance to me. It's a bit triggering to talk about, but nevertheless, shame survives by being allowed to hide. So the more we can own and speak to people about it, especially if we've got safe, non-shaming people to discuss these things with, then this is the way in which we can acknowledge shame and move forward anyway until it kind of minimizes. So when in my early life, as I said, I've struggled with shame for most of my life, and indeed toxic shame, to the point where in my late teens, I was painfully shy. I spoke with a stutter. I went bright red and burning hot any time I was in a group of people and was required to speak up. It was really painful sometimes to know that I was bright red and I could feel the heat and my voice wasn't coming out, and seeing the look of pity in people's eyes as they watched me desperately trying to kind of push my words forward. Still challenging to think about and speak about, you know, at this kind of moment. And from time to time, the feeling of shame still likes to visit. And one of the things is that we could acknowledge that experience, we could be present with it, and we can move forward regardless. So as I say, you can often tell when people or yourself are having a shame attack physiologically. You know, internally there's this sense of kind of, you know, you're burning up, your inner voice becomes highly critical, there's this terrible feeling inside yourself, and then often there's a flushing of the skin, you know, that's the kind of the external evidence just so that others can see, you know, how nice. But I guess where we can begin this episode is talking a little bit about the categories of shame. So shame is, you know, our overall topic, but it drops down into, broadly speaking, three subsets. The first is healthy shame. This is the feeling we get when we have behaved in ways that are not consistent with us or our social group. You know, biologically, shame was there originally to help to keep individuals behaving in a way that was group consistent. From the time when we were more reliant on tribe for our very survival, shame was, you know, to a degree biologically important because it prevented us from behaving in ways that were so extreme that it would prevent or threaten the survival of group. And isolation meant death in the days when we were, you know, on the menu, so to speak, many hundreds of, you know, tens of thousands of years ago. This was far more important from a biological perspective than it is today. But again, it's a feeling. It's a feeling that something, a feeling of wrongness. Toxic shame is different. Toxic shame is when we collapse the feeling with our identity. And so instead of a feeling of wrongness, I have this overarching sense that I am wrong. You know, I am wrong. That's toxic shame, for which we can go about offsetting that sense of deep-seated wrongness about who we are as a person in two kind of very polarizing ways. One is that we can go into the subhuman, worm-like, under-functioning space of shame where I can't get my life together. I'm feeling less than to others. I'm feeling a lot of humiliation. I'm very associated to those feelings of shame, and I allow them to, abandon myself or under deliver in my sense of my life. On the polar opposite, but still driven by that sense of, you know, that I am wrong, that toxic shame, you know, we can swing in order to kind of try to avoid that. We can swing into a more disassociated approach, and we can become the superhuman, the perfectionist. Again, this is just the other side of the polarity, where we are highly critical of self. We go into overfunctioning. We go into better than, sometimes a narcissistic sense of specialness at all costs, which is not a genuine sense, but rather a psychological defense of specialness that I cling to so that I am not feeling my sense of toxic shame. So I'm doing everything I can to appear, you know, as if I'm right in order to avoid that deep-seated sense that I am wrong. And our society in general tends to have a bias. It tends to laud people who go into this hero, you know, this dysfunctional hero, hyper-functioning, super mum, super dad, superman, superwoman style approach. This becomes, to a degree, aspirational, to be this kind of person who appears perfect in all areas. You know, I'm making the money, I look fantastic physically, I dress really well, I show up and present, you know, in a wonderful kind of way, I've got all the status. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with dressing well and looking good and feeling healthy, but again, from what space is it driven from? Because the superhuman side of toxic shame can be just as crippling, because I can still deny myself and drive myself mercilessly from this place. It's just that, you know, society tends to think that that's a mask that's okay to wear. That's an adaptation that's okay to do, rather than when I, you know, collapse into processes that are considered more antisocial as a way of being with my toxic, shaming self, then this is frowned upon. Both pathways can be challenging to recover from. And sometimes the people who, you know, have got the facade of the perfect life that they're desperately trying to keep in place, sometimes for them, it's a harder pathway. It's a harder pathway back to vulnerability. It's a harder pathway to sit with our sense of that wrongness and disengage it from our identity and, you know, make it back into a feeling and begin to shift and re-embrace our identity in the sense that I am okay. I am enough. And when we can start to foster our identity from that place, which requires real compassion and nurture, and also the courage to reassociate to those feelings of shame that often come from our childhood. And if it's carried shame, if we were brought up in a very rigid, egocentric-based culture, you know, we can often carry the shame of our parents or of the institutions we were raised in. And so, you know, elements of that shame were handed to us. They weren't even ours. And that's something worth mentioning when we're dealing with shame, is that one way people do this dysfunctionally is to hot potato the shame. So, for example, you know, a parent might be at work, the boss yells at them in front of everybody, they feel quite shamed and humiliated by that experience, they come home, they're carrying that in their body, and suddenly maybe as they enter the family home, one of the children has left the bicycle on the driveway. So they fly into the house and they berate the child so as to, you know, I don't want to carry my sense of shame and humiliation. I don't want to process it myself. So I'm going to flick that onto you. And then the child, as a result of feeling now shamed and humiliated and belittled by the surprise attack of the parent, then goes and finds a younger sibling to yell at or vilify so as to pass the shame on further. And then the toddler goes and finds the family dog and acts out with the dog. So, you know, there's this kind of sense that, you know, we really have not been taught how to sit with our shame. What we've seen is often this kind of process of hot potatoing where we pass the shame on to others. Or we externalize and project so that we can become highly critical, judgmental, and shaming of others so as to kind of sidestep that process for self. So there can definitely be an element of projecting onto others that or, you know, becoming belittling and shaming in the way we're interacting with others to offset and nullify the feelings of shame within ourselves. So it's learning to really find a place of nurture and compassion within inside ourselves that's so deeply profound and so deeply accommodating that we have the strength, and the presence to sit with our shame and process it in healthy kind of ways. And that, as I say, we can recognize that it's a feeling, it's not an identity, it's not an element of who we are. I'm having a feeling, a shaming feeling right now. I am fine. I am having a feeling rather than I am the feeling. You know, so we are really looking to re-separate that process again where we are connecting and reaffirming our identity as being enough, that we really are okay. We're embracing, you know, one of the things sometimes about avoiding toxic shame is there's this pressure to excel at everything we do. And we have to come back to just embracing our ordinariness. There's, where did, you know, our culture is so shaming in the sense that, you know, what we hold up is these examples of exceptionality, or we highlight the toxicity. And where's the ordinary? You know, where do we get acknowledged just for our beingness rather than, you know, the praise and the accolades come from our doing and our achieving? And like I said, there's nothing wrong with doing and achieving. But again, if we are coming from a place where we're lacking in our beingness, then it's always going to fall short. It's never going to fill up that void and that emptiness. Trust me, I know I've been trying all my life with varying methods to do that. Alcohol, food, overachievement, intellectualism, sex, giving myself away in relationships to try to fill that void up. You know, anything I can do to avoid sitting in that and addressing that sense that I, as an individual, I'm wrong at my core. I'm wrong at my core. What a way to live. And I can't be more encouraging that you really see that is an adaption that's come from your childhood, and with every ounce of your being, you need, in my opinion, or you may want, but in my, it's a need to come back to and embrace and find a way back to the wholeness of our being is just so powerful as to where we need to come from as human beings. How do we find our way back? And the thing is that if you find that shame doesn't sit well with you, that the idea that you are toxically wrong really creates great distress in you. The beauty about that is there must be a part of you already that doesn't buy into that. There must be a part, even if it's deeply unconscious right now, that doesn't feel that way. And it's from that place of recognition. You know, if you truly felt that you were worthless, then you'd just be like, yeah, I'm a nothing. No biggie. No need to worry about that. Just get on and live my life from this place of nothingness. But if it is distressing, what that says is there's a part of you that hasn't drunk the Kool-Aid, so to speak. It hasn't bought in to that collapse of feeling on identity. And from that place, we can start to come into salvation. We can start to come into recovery and healing. We can start to come back to a place. And it can take time. And we have to be so present with self. We have to affirm that, you know, even though I'm uncomfortable, I'm not going to abandon myself right now. I'm not going to go back into the behaviors that I use to hide from dealing with the shame. I'm going to stay present with it. And this is where it becomes so vital that the pathway out, because shame relies on hiding, you know, many people avoid, have fear of success. And one of the elements of that is because at the base of that is we're avoiding shame. What happens if I get successful and then I lose it all? Okay, what happens? You know, so you have a feeling of shame. Yeah, you might have that. But again, that can be processed, that can be nurtured. And, you know, what's more problematic, I think, is that we give in to that. You know, we might not manage it in the most elegant way to begin with, but when we surrender to it and we allow it to win, this fills our life with regret. And I'd rather have these moments as ick as toxic shame is. You know, we're bringing it out, we're acknowledging it, we're bringing it forward. And I've been with trusting friends, and the topic we've talked about has given me a shame attack. And suddenly I know that they, you know, these are people who are in self-development, so they can see that something's happened, because, you know, all of a sudden my cheeks are flushed. I've suddenly gone a bit quiet and withdrawn. And in those moments, I just go, hello, shame. Thank you for visiting. Ah, here we are. We've got this feeling. And I'm not going to shame myself for feeling shame or switch into a more powered emotion, which is rage. Oh, my goodness. Here we are again. I can't believe that we are still dealing with this. And I become a belittling, critical parent to myself rather than just going, okay, where something about this conversation, something about this experience. I certainly find that one area where I have toxic shame is around women that I find very attractive. Oh, so much fun. And gee, don't I like calling that one out. But again, we just can't allow that. We can't allow shame to, you know, pull us back from our essence, pull us back from our potentiality. And we have to be okay that we might not manage this in the most elegant way, but as long as we've set an intent to move forward, we're doing our best each time. Sometimes it gets the better of us. Other times we're going to get the better of it. And by, you know, consistently, we're going to learn to nurture ourselves and be present with ourselves and move through that emotion so that we're there saying, hey, hi, shame, welcome. You know, I know this is, we're not, you know, I'm aware that right now I'm experiencing feelings of less than, I'm feeling experiences of non-deserving, I'm feeling this feeling of shame really strongly, and probably due to the redness of my face, others can see it, and I'm still going to stay present with myself. I'm still going to move forward like a loving parent would stay present for a fearful child, and not force them, but just gently encourage them and guide them forward. This is what we're doing with ourselves. Okay. And, you know, this was part of starting things like the YouTube channel and the podcasting series, was how much shame that evoked for me, especially in the early days. And it was like, you know what? It's not perfect, and that's okay. And we're going to still do the episode anyway. You know, when I come away from conversations and I haven't gone in my mind as well as I could have, or I haven't stayed present, or I've gone into adaptions in conversation because, you know, I've felt too vulnerable. I'm coming away from those, and I might have a you know, that moment of shame around how I conducted myself, but then I'm being present with myself. I'm nurturing myself. I'm going, it's okay. We're still learning. It's okay to be, you know, we're embracing, and we're learning to love ourselves despite our faults. We're learning to see that that has nothing to do with our enoughness at our core. We're just learning, we're just integrating, and we're showing up the best we possibly can in this moment right now. So, you know, we're acknowledging shame when it comes up. We're speaking to ourselves in nurturing ways. It's okay. I know how I'm feeling right now. And, you know, with absolute love to what's going on inside myself right now, we're still going to do this. We're still going to put ourselves forward. If we need to get some external support from people, you know, who we know are non-shaming and supportive, then I'm going to go and own it and speak to them, or I'm going to still engage in this task to the best of my ability right now. And when we find that we move forward, when we step out, when we show ourselves, then for the most part, yes, we might be kind of wonky at first, but it stabilizes and it's the way forward. More and more, we start to really get the sense of our rightness, or our completeness is probably, and our enoughness are probably better terms than right and wrong. And over time, the world starts to reflect more and more back to us, but primarily we are the one that's able to, you know, detoxify toxic shame by recognizing that I am not wrong. I am fine. I am okay. I am imperfect, and that's all part of the process of humanness, and that's okay. And I'm just doing the best I can with what I have right now. I'm you know, I'm going after my goals. I'm moving forward, and that's, you know, part of where we become. Like I said, we're fostering that inner loving, nurturing parent, that uplifting, inspiring coach. And where, you know, for some of us, there's not a lot of that internally, and so that's going to take time. It's a skill. It's a skill we need to learn. But we are making sure that we are not abandoning self, that we are not hot potatoing our shame by passing it on to others, but rather as an adult, we're doing our best to sit with it, and over time we will get better and better at managing it, and more seeing it just as a feeling, not as part of who we innately are, because who we innately are is so precious, and we want to more and more honor that. And when we can, and when we sit in that place where we're not doing things to avoid a shame attack, then we find, I think, that life moves more smoovely. And because we're coming from a place of presence and fullness with life rather than a place of avoidance, creates a different effect. There's just so much that can be, you know, addressed on the space of shame, but I hope today's episode has given you some little insight. Thank you to the people who had said, hey, you know, we'd be curious if you could do something on shame. I hope this kind of helps and offers some insight, because it can really get in the way of us having the fullness and freedom in our life that we truly deserve. So thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, if you've been listening along throughout the series, my profound gratitude. And if you've just joined us, you can help the reach of the show by going to iTunes, download, subscribe, leave a review and a 5-star rating, because that helps reach, and I'd be most grateful if you could do that for us. So iTunes, Stitcher, I'm available on other podcast mediums. Also, you're able, if you want to say hello, or you've got some requests for episodes, you can visit the website at emergencetraining.com.au. I wish you every ounce of success with really embracing your enoughness, really sitting in the essence of the core of who you are. It's pure, it's precious. And if this has helped you to do that, then hey, I'm really delighted I got the chance to share. So thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next episode. So until then, bye.